repeat things, but I'd like you to give, I'd like to give you the adult version of the parable of the $10 note. There once was a $10 note. It was withdrawn from an ATM and used to buy food for a young family. The supermarket used the $10 note to pay wages to one of its employees, who then used it to give as a donation to a charity. The charity used the $10 note to buy medicine for a mother and children who had temporary accommodation in a refuge for victims of domestic violence. The chemist gave the $10 note in change, and it was eventually made its way to a young girl who bought drugs to feed her habit. The $10 note was now in the hands of a drug syndicate who used the $10 with others to buy an illegal handgun, and the gun was used in a bank robbery where a guard was wounded. And the $10 note continued to travel through the economy of life. Tell me, is money evil or good? Living in a society that values those who are rich and finds entertainment in the lifestyles and relationships of rich, and promotes wealth creation as an aim in life, it is easy to see that the comments in the Bible are seen as against the rich. Especially in the two readings that we had this morning. 1 Timothy, where St. Paul says, "But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires and plunge people into ruin and destruction." Or the good news of Luke, where the parable of the unnamed rich man and the poor, sick, destitute Lazarus. His name in Greek is pronounced Eliezer, which means God has helped. We know that the unnamed rich man is rich, but how rich is he? He is described as dressing in highly expensive purple-dyed linen and feasting all the time. And his house, the translation we use to read here doesn't quite get this, but the word there is, it has a portico, which means a large gate, which gives the impression that the rich man's house was a mansion. In other words, he was very rich. In contrast, the poor man Lazarus, by the way, who's the only character given a name in Jesus' parables, is described as destitute. He sits at the rich man's gate. Lazarus is full of sores and in physical misery. He is desperate for food, but note, in the parable he is not fed, but desires to be fed from the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. So one man has all that he wants, and the other has nothing. And also note that the religious or faith state of each is not mentioned, except that Lazarus, when he dies, goes to be at table in the bosom of Abraham, giving the sense of intense joy. Where the rich man ends up, well, that's a bit problematic, because we're told he goes to Hades, but Gehenna is described. Hades, normally a colourless term describes the abode of all the dead, whether good or evil. Gehenna, the narrow valley on one side of Jerusalem where the sons of Hinnom sacrificed children to the god Molech, which became Jerusalem's garbage dump, where criminals, bodies of poor people, dead animals, all the garbage of Jerusalem was dumped, and it was perpetually burning. It eventually becomes known as the place of punishment for the wicked. Here, the rich man is in torment. He can see Lazarus in the joyful bosom of the patriarch Abraham. The conversation that follows between the rich man and Abraham, the father of faith, gives us more information about the attitude of the rich man, which is the point of the story. Lazarus says nothing in this parable at all. The rich man showed no mercy in his life and does not ask for mercy in his present situation. With no awareness of any need to repent or change his ways, he requests, at the least, that he is willing to receive any alleviation from the situation, but he asks for the poor Lazarus to bring that alleviation. He wants the poor man sent to serve him. The request is refused, saying that now their states in life are reversed and cannot be changed. Thus the great chasm between Abraham and Gehenna Hades. His path in life, with fine riches he had, and not helping those who were in need when the poor man sat at his large gate. A different set of values now operates. It is redress. Justice is done. What the rich man wants Lazarus to do next is something akin to Charles Dickens's novel A Christmas Carol, you know, the ghost of Christmas past going to Scrooge. At least the rich man is now showing some interest in others, his brothers, but it is not in the poor. Send Lazarus back to my brothers to warn them so that they, seeing someone who was dead alive, would change their hearts, he says. And that's the crux of the matter. Is it not? There's need to be a change of heart in the rich man in this parable, and it never comes. Not even when he is in Hades. The little story of the $10 note demonstrates that money in itself is neither good nor bad. It's a resource. It is the needs and the desires of the heart that cause us to use our resources, our money, for good or evil. Jesus points this out in the Gospels. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. I did a little bit of research, and found that I did this on Google, so I don't know the absolute correctness of these details, but it gives you a sense of what I'm trying to say anyway. Half the population of the world lives on $2.50 a day. Now, I did some calculations. I looked up what I think is the old age pension, because we often hear our politicians saying, yeah, poor pensions and all that sort of thing. We view them as having less resources than anybody else in our community, or one of the groups that have less resources. And I worked out that if you're on the old age pension, you are 22 times better off than half the population in the world. As I said, I don't know the correctness of these statistics, but it gives you an idea, doesn't it? Being rich has its hazards. And from those statistics, you can see that we in Australia are very rich. We can see this from 1 Timothy when Paul writes this: "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains." Or Jesus saying, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God determines wealth by what's in our heart. The more we become rich with earthly things that are here today and gone tomorrow, the greater the hazard, the more we need a change of heart. In Jesus' parable, the rich man needs a change of heart. And even when it is too late, his change of heart never comes. Whether you consider yourself rich or otherwise, to be rich or poor, it doesn't matter. They are subjective terms. The change of heart Jesus is looking for is for us to give thanks to God for what we have, and with thanksgiving and